make. He'll never lose your way. The path he puts your feet upon leads to the cloudless day. Sometimes we see the journey and so forget the end. But if we keep on holding to the hand,
wrought If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die a fighting, it is no disgrace. A coward in the service, he will find no place. Oh, keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
God will only use the soldier he can trust.
Keep on the firing line.
If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must.
Keep on the firing line.
Life is but to labor for the Master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer.
Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. How we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
Mary had a baby in that good news. Mary had a baby in that good news. Mary had a baby, he is the King of Glory. Mary had a baby in that good news. He will die to save us in that good news. He will die to save us in that good news. He will die to save us, honor the name of Jesus. He will die to save us in that good news. The baby, who is the babe of Bethlehem? He is the Savior. He comes to die for every man. He is called King Jesus, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Gentle Shepherd, Loving Prince of Peace. Mary had a baby, and that good news. Christ is soon returning, ain't that good news? Christ is soon returning, ain't that good news? Christ is soon returning, oh how my heart is yearning. Christ is soon returning, that's good news. Who is the baby? Who is the babe of Bethlehem? He is the Savior. He comes to die for every man. Mary had a baby. Jesus died to save us. He is soon returning, and that good news. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Spirit of the living. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Fill me, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us
battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Beneath the cleansing flood. I hope you can all hear me. I am back on YouTube only for certain broadcasts, only for certain times, certain broadcasts. I can't put the other ones on because if I do, I get kicked off right away and then you don't get to see any of my content. And everybody's telling me, well, go to this site and that site. Yeah, but nobody watches those. So as soon as they get one that works good that everybody watches, then we'll use it. But it just they just don't seem to work good. And nobody wants to, these bigwigs out there don't want to invest any money into something that will make it work to rival YouTube. So we'll see if something ever happens like that. I'm game to put them on anywhere where you can. I have a COVID, crib sheet, so to speak, of sermons and or of broadcast that I have listed, and I'm putting that list together of all the broadcasts that I talked about COVID down through the last year or so, and the new ones that I'm putting on. All of the COVID content is banned from YouTube, so all of that will be over on Sermon Audio. If you want my latest broadcasts on COVID and the truth of that and your cheat sheet, excuse me, I've been sneezing for like a week, but I'm not even sick. Anyway, but if you want, you can go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. And if you go there, you will find all of the content that you are looking for and more to come. Because boy, do I have some more broadcasts. I just have to have time to do them all. Okay? But I got more coming. This one, COVID facts versus COVID fiction. Okay, check that one out. That one's really climbing up. A lot of people are listening to that one. The most listened to one has to be right here. This one has, let's see, it's pushing 800. Let's see. Yeah, pushing 800 right now. Downloads on Sermon Audio, which is a lot for Sermon Audio, by the way, for a short amount of time. It's only been on there for about a week. But I'm putting together this. I don't have it all finished yet, but I'm going to go through and put down a series. So if you want to look for my series on that, you're going to be able to click on that, and you'll be able to find that, okay? But go to Sermon Audio for that. And you'll be able to find all those. And there's more to come. Tuesday, I'll be doing another broadcast, Lord willing, on that subject. And trying to help people to understand the issue at hand and the grand conspiracy of it all. Which, by the way, all these oligarchs and all these devils do is just prove me right every step of the way, don't they? When I talk about their tyranny and their wickedness and all that they're doing, they're just proving it to be right. The final broadcast I will do on the, well, I shouldn't say final, but one I want to do in the future, and I don't know if I'm going to get to it next week. It might be the week after. But we're going to do a little comparison of 1984 and COVID-19. So stay tuned for that one. Boy, is that ever going to be a good one. But you keep in touch with us there. If you want to email me, because I'm not on YouTube very often, but Sermon Audio, or if you go to Pastor Cooley at iCloud.com or SalvationPreacher@gmail.com, you can get a hold of us there. If you want to give to our ministry, you can do the same thing. You can go to PayPal and you can SalvationPreacher@gmail.com or PastorCooley@iCloud.com or go to our homepage on SermonAudio.com/Pastor Cooley and click the Give button. And then click on PayPal, or you can mail us something if you'd like. The address is right down there. But totally up to you, but I would appreciate your prayers, definitely, for all that. And I'm grateful, by the way, for those of you that pray for us and for those of you that give to our ministry to try to be a blessing to us. As you know, we hand out thousands of tracts. Last month alone, we handed out 17,000 tracts. Just got on, Marco. 17,000 tracks last month. So praise the Lord for that. And we are going to be going out preaching Halloween everywhere against Halloween. Well, not against Halloween, but we will be preaching against Halloween, but that's not why we're going out. We're going out to preach the gospel to people that are gathered together wherever they are, wherever there's a crowd, and we're going to preach. Okay? So, you know, that's what's going on for that. So you keep that in mind as we get our plans ready, and we will probably broadcast live out on the street. We've got a documentary we want to do on tracks. Been wanting to do that, and on street preaching and evangelism and all that stuff. Put that out there to try to encourage pastors how to hand out a lot of gospel tracts at events, things of that nature. So we are going to do some instructional videos on that. Looking forward to that in the future as well. So you keep praying for us. And what a blessing that will be if you'd continue to do that. Now, understand that YouTube is suppressing my videos heavily, shadow banning me, all that good and fun stuff. So there's nothing I can do about that, folks. Nothing at all. I do find it funny that after I mentioned that they're shadow banning me and doing all that stuff, my subscribers went up 200 subscribers. I was stuck at 14.4 to 14.5 for like years. Then all of a sudden, for like 3 years, we were stuck at the same number. And then all of a sudden, we're up to 14.7. We literally jumped 300 subscribers. Interesting, isn't it? But whatever. It is what it is. So we will continue to broadcast. Now, if you're looking for a broadcast next week, Tuesday, sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, probably 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I will send out a notice. If you go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley and you subscribe to us, okay, go to our page and subscribe. If you do that, you can find us there. Now, also, if you go to oldpathsbaptistchurch.org, you can watch our live stream player for Sermon Audio when we are on. Now, Sermon Audio will send you out a notice if you are subscribed to our page. When we do a broadcast and I send out a notice, and I do on every broadcast, so it names the broadcast, I send that out, and you will be able to contact us, okay? Or, I mean, you will be able to keep track of our broadcast and click on the link that's in the email, and you can watch live, okay? The COVID shows will be over there. Just remember that. So Tuesday, COVID show will be over there. And it'll send you a notice. So go to our Sermon Audio and sign up, you know, for our newsletter, or not newsletter, but sign up for our podcast or whatever it is. I don't know how they do that, but anyway, they have a way for you to sign up. And, then you can keep in touch with us, all right? Anyway, so you'll figure that out when you go to our main page here. It'll tell you how to do that. Interesting. There it is. So, anyway. Now, moving right along here. Wow, is this ever weird? What I'm about to show you is absolutely, diabolically, the most strangest, kookiest, weirdest, freakiest Friday, Antichrist, AI, cyborg, creepy thing you have seen, well, one of them anyway, in your life. Is that enough descriptive adjectives to try to explain it? I hope it is. All right, because it is weird. Now, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 for me, if you would please, in your King James Bible. And let's look at some scripture here. We'll be looking at Revelation chapter 13 as well, because it all goes together. It all goes together with that. So, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who opposeth, this is the son of perdition. This is that spirit of Antichrist, and this is what I'm going to show you. This man, this remember Peter 2.0? Remember our creepy, weird friend Peter 2.0? Remember this guy? Not that guy. That guy's creepy enough. This guy. Remember Peter 2.0? Holy creepy buckets, Batman. Holy creepy buckets, Batman. I mean, way out in left field, Antichrist, creepy, spooky, scary, out of this world, insane, makes my skin crawl, got devils all over him, Peter 2.0. Right? Yeah. So, let's go to some scripture. This guy, he oozes Antichrist. If you could tap his vein, if there's any blood left in his veins, I don't really know. But if you could, and you put it on one of them tester strips, it would say Antichrist on the tester strip. That's how stinking absolutely creepy he is. That's how absolutely scary that guy is. For sure. Okay? What does the Bible say? Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Now, you're going to listen to this guy, Peter 2.0, talk. I mean, his avatar talk. Yeah, it's weird. With his sodomite boy, his sodomite husband, he calls him. And you're just going to hear Antichrist. You're going to hear Antichrist in their voice. You are going to hear Antichrist in the voice and in what he says and the pride and arrogancy and everything in there. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Here you go. With all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I want you to understand something. Peter 2.0. He's building a god. He's making a god in his own image. Do you understand that? He has made a god in his own image. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Revelation chapter 13. Here we go. Who gave him the power to do this? Look, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Everything this Peter 2.0 is talking about, everything the Google gods are talking about, everything that they're talking about is blasphemous to the Lord. It is absolute and 100% blasphemous to God. right? Blasphemous to God. Every single thing that they are talking about, blasphemy to God. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet. Let's fast forward here just a little bit here. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. That's what's going on here. Power, seat, and great authority. You're going to see this with Google and with Peter 2.0. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. You see in the spirit of it? Are you watching? You don't know yet because I haven't showed you. But you're going to see it. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Now watch this. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceiveth them that dwell in the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell in the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. All right, are you ready? Here we go. Talk about major. I'm going to show you two videos. Okay? I'm going to show you this one first. And then I'm going to show you the next one. Actually, I think I'm going to show you this one first. If you haven't watched my videos on Peter 2.0 before, that's okay. You'll still get this, but check this out. Now, this is, remember, we visited this a while ago, like 6-8 months ago, or maybe even a year ago. This is Peter 2.0 now. This is the transhumanism. This is the transformation.
Can answer.
Stephen, it's absolutely wonderful to be talking with you. Thanks so much for inviting me. It's going to be fun.
I think it is. It's going to be fun and fascinating. First things first, you have described yourself as a transitioning cyborg. How first would you define cyborg?
Cyborg is simply a fancy word for part human, part machine. In my case, what's never been done before is that the most important machine parts of me will be AI, not mechanics. And that all potentially gets a bit weird.
Okay, that potentially gets a bit weird. I mean, you're not a kidding, it gets a bit weird. But let me show you something else. Here you go. Here's that fourth kingdom, right? And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Antichrist. See that? To the core.
Not least because I'm planning to use more and more AI to work with me on everything. Everything from speaking to controlling things to moving about. The point is, my brain is racing away, frantically wanting to communicate with the outside world, to write emails, to work the TV remote, to chip into conversations. But I'm only able to move my eyes. It's like being in my own private universe, only able to tap out Morse code to the rest of you. I need AI to second-guess what I'm wanting to communicate, but from the start, I didn't want to be coy about what I was doing. The inherent unusualness of it all. I decided to be out and proud about my transitioning status, and also be brazen about the fact I would increasingly diverge from the norm. So I commandeered the word cyborg.
Fantastic. Now, I think it's fair to say we could describe your journey to becoming the world's first ever cyborg, real cyborg outside science fiction, begins with, how can I put it, a wonky foot.
Francis and I were in the Arctic chasing the northern lights. I stepped out of a lovely hot bath and did what I've done all my life. I wiggled my foot to shake off the drips. It didn't wiggle, and at best, it was a slow waggle. So my very first symptom was, as you so accurately categorized, a wonky foot. But it then took a year to get a diagnosis. There's no test for MND, so you have to resort to eliminating everything it isn't.
So he's got a muscle disorder, and his body is breaking down around him. So he wanted his mind, he wanted his body to basically be a cyborg online. And this is what he's done. He thinks that he's going to cheat death by that.
In my case, this involved giving vast amounts of blood, being deafened by hours of MRI scans, interminable electric shocks, and my personal favorite, a lumbar puncture. It took forever. I was in a wheelchair long before we knew why I was in a wheelchair.
And just for sort of background, before this very alarming episode in the bathroom, life, I guess, was pretty typical for you. Perhaps you can say what normal life for Peter 1.0, for original Peter, was.
To answer that, let me start by giving a bit of background. In my 20s, I was lucky enough to invent a way to decode strands of what, in effect, is the hidden operating system that civilization runs on. Our unwritten rules, if you like. But as I got more and more glimpses into how humanity ticks, how it evolves, I realized that to get the full picture, I'd have to fill in some missing pieces that no one was likely to fund me to research. Very conveniently, this corresponded with Francis and me having the epiphany that although we could probably never have too much money, we could have enough. Whereas we would never have enough time together. So while we were still fit and adventurous, I gave up paid work and we began exploring the world. And I filled in the missing unwritten rules of being human for almost exactly 9 years. Then I got a wonky foot.
Right. So this diagnosis of motor neuron disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, they call it in America, and Charcot disease on the continent, I think, surely not just a terrible shock to you and your husband, to Francis, but...
Right, so the guy's already a sodomite. He's already a homosexual. He already hates God. He's already in rebellion to God. He already has a very gifted mind that I believe is influenced by devils because his agenda is devilish. See, he has a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is where this world is headed.
It would mean an end to so much that had brought you joy in life.
Seriously, if you're going to have a terminal disease, MND is the one to go for. There's no nausea, no pain, and usually your brain stays as sharp as ever. Oh, and the terminal bit turns out to be negotiable. With that said, does what's dubbed the world's cruelest disease nevertheless inevitably suck the joy out of life? Look, I found the trick to enjoying total paralysis is simply to imagine you're in a luxury spa hotel and the maitre d' insisted you put your feet up and you don't move a muscle. It's brilliant. The life of a sedentary pharaoh. I've discovered my inner slob. and no one complains. So the real answer to your question is that my diagnosis with MND has confirmed to me that joy in life, contentment, happiness, fun, are far less a result of circumstances than many assume. They are an act of will.
Okay, see? They're an act of will. No, true joy comes from the Lord. True joy comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from your sins being forgiven. It comes from being cleansed from all unrighteousness and walking in newness of life. True joy comes from God Almighty. It comes to fulfilling the purpose why God brought you into this world. He brought you into this world to glorify God. This man has made himself a god. He made a god in his own image, after his own likeness. And he is saying, like the pharaohs, that he will live on and he will defeat death. He is Antichrist. He says this terminal illness turns out to not be so terminal. He believes that with his mind, he's going to be, his body will break down, but he's converting his body completely to a cyborg. So he is saying that he is not going to die. He is defying God.
You found the rules that govern society. Are there any unwritten rules of being human that have become clearer to you as you've become a cyborg? Has that made a difference?
Lots. As examples, here are my top four unwritten rules that I'd recommend for anyone who's unexpectedly hit by a crisis. First,
so this is like rules from Antichrist to help you.
First, remember who's boss. Nothing and nobody can stress you.
Remember who's boss. Do you see how this man worships himself? This man worships himself. He does not worship the God of the Bible. He worships himself. Wow, is my listening numbers going like up and down, up and down, up and down. Unbelievable, man. Wow, Satan hates this, and so does YouTube.
You can only do that yourself. Second, accept bad luck. It's not fair. Only applies to human behavior, never situations. Move on. Third, don't panic. Think. All animals panic. But humans alone can think their way to calmness. And fourth, and most important, never give up. Life offers hope. Hope breeds energy. Energy creates resolve. And resolve rewrites the future.
Do you see that? All of that is without God. All of that is becoming a god without God. All of that is, it is Antichrist to the core. It is made a god. He is a god after his own image. Revelation 13. They made an image unto the beast. The Antichrist. That's the same spirit this man has. It's what he's pushing.
That's brilliant. That sounds like the best bits of Stoicism and Nietzsche. All the bad bits taken out. You certainly don't give up, and you haven't given up, and I bet you never will. Didn't you pretty soon start about this process of replumbing yourself?
Oh, yes. This was driven by my desire to answer the only remaining mysteries in Star Wars. How does Darth Vader eat, drink, and go to the bathroom? You see, with MND, the good news is that you'll always be able to go to the loo. The bad news is you'll never be able to get to the loo, or eat, or drink. My solution was to completely replumb my gut and add four new connections. Food in, liquid in, waste number one, waste number two. But it had never been done before. So
you see what he's saying here. He made himself a cyborg, like a machine. Right? That's what he did.
So I booked to see a top surgeon at my local NHS hospital here in Torquay. and explained my ideas. After a while, he shook his head and said, "Of course we should be offering this on the NHS." A few months later, a trio of him and two other surgeons performed the first ever.
Pizza or salad? Which one do you think I'm having?
Too bad it went to a stupid ad. Hold on.
World. Now, I never have to get up at night. I can eat while I'm asleep. And for the first time in my life, I drink over 2 liters of water a day. For me, it's been a definite upgrade.
In which case, I suppose, back to your diagnosis. The initial weeks, when you were coming to terms with it all, how quickly did you make the decision to start doing something like this Darth Vader solution?
My first thoughts after diagnosis were actually how I could break the news to Francis without putting him off our planned trip to an exhibition on ancient Egypt. But immediately after that, I found myself thinking...
Yeah, he was going to go to ancient Egypt, right? That's where he's going, right? I bet he was.
Thinking, die as a man or live as a cyborg?
Do you see that? Die as a man or live as a cyborg? Are you catching this? I hope you are.
To me, it was a no-brainer. This was to be a terminal disease like no one had seen before. I was going to rise like a phoenix.
Here he goes. This is where he starts it. He says this over and over again. I was going to rise like a phoenix. I'm telling you, this guy and his sodomite lover are devil-possessed to their toenails. I mean, they literally snort devils. They've got so many in them right now. It is just unbelievable. Absolutely 100% unbelievable. Watch, he says it again.
I passionately believe that it's the birthright of every human being to be able to change the universe, even when we've been brought to our knees. The point is, each of us can find ourselves crushed, simply staying alive. But each of us can also choose to rise like a phoenix and...
We can all choose to rise like a phoenix, he said. Uh-huh. The phoenix comes out of the ashes. The phoenix is on the $1 bill, right? The phoenix is the occultic symbol, right, of rising up. Mm-hmm.
Thrive. Whatever we are, whatever our background, whatever our circumstances, whatever our ambitions. Of course, it's scary. But when our response to our clash of hope and fear is nevertheless to deliberately break the rules, rebel against fate.
When he says rebel against fate, he's talking about rebelling against God. That's what he's talking about, using technology to defeat death. Sound familiar? I'm going to show you more. It's not just Peter 2.0. But he's actually putting his money where his mouth is, literally.
Forge our own destiny. Then sometimes, impossibly, we get to leave our fingerprints on everyone's future. And we change everything.
See? We change everything. Mm-hmm. Now, it gets more.
He was told that he had just 2 years left to live, and that was 4 years ago.
Well, an artificial intelligence expert, Peter, has pushed the boundaries of technology to live as the world's first human cyborg, part machine, part human.
Well, Peter joins us now alongside his husband, Francis, and good morning to both of you.
Morning,
lovely to have
you
here with us.
I mean, I'm sorry, but this is absolutely creepy. And the stuff that he says, it makes it even worse.
And Francis, let's start.
Happy birthday, Phil.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you, Peter. Much appreciated. Francis, that moment when you got the diagnosis for the both of you, I mean, it must have been a hell of a shock.
Oh, sorry about that.
Anybody who gets a diagnosis like that, you feel like you're hit by a truck. You know, you really are quite stunned for quite some time. And I've never been quite so shocked. I have to say it was pretty horrible. Mm-hmm. But we soon got to grips with our new reality and decided to move things forward as quickly as can. The problem is with something like that, you can't stop it. You can't pause it. And there's nothing you can actually do about it. And we've always sort of made things right for each other. And I think that was the thing that was so horrible for me, because I just couldn't make it right for him.
And the thing about Peter with his extraordinary mind and the abilities that he has in the world that he works in is that he wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to give up easily.
Oh, no. It's not in his DNA to give up easily. And if somebody says you can't do something...
See, it's not in his DNA. Everything's about man. Everything's about their life. Everything's about what they can do. No God anywhere in sight but them. They're the gods, right? They're the ones that are the gods.
Never.
We immediately think... because you say I can't do it doesn't mean to say I can't do it. So he wasn't going to give up without a fight. So we decided we'd give that motor neuron disease a good run for its money.
Which you really have. Yeah. So this is fascinating. So Peter decides then that he's going to become a cyborg. could you explain, Francis, what that means?
Yes. I mean, listen to how they say it. Peter says that he wants to become a cyborg. I mean, they act like it's normal. It's like, oh, I want to eat popcorn today. Oh, I think I've become a cyborg. It's just the strangest thing. But it's Antichrist. I mean, oh.
Yeah, I keep calling him my little robot. He says, I'm not a robot. I'm a cyborg. Basically, it's kind of part human, part machine. He will need machines in order to stay alive. And we're working on a complicated AI system which will listen and learn, and it will come up with responses for Peter. So a lot of what Peter says in the future will be generated by an AI system. So, for instance...
So basically it won't be him speaking. He's going to be like a dead corpse. And just devils are going to go in and out of him, and that's what's doing it. Because really... they're saying it's not really him.
If you telephoned and said, you know, hello, Peter, how are you? What's the weather like today? That AI system would come up with a couple of choices for Peter to click on, which were tailor-made for you. Now, if I asked exactly the same question, that AI system would come up with a couple of other responses tailor-made to me, and Peter would probably say, why are you asking me what the weather is? Put your head out the window and have a look.
It's so clever, isn't it? It is so clever. And in order for this these machines to work, essentially, he had to undergo some groundbreaking operations.
Peter soon found out that the thing with motor neuron disease is it's more of a mechanical sort of plumbing issue, if you like. Because the motor neuron disease itself doesn't actually kill you. All of your internal organs, your heart, your liver, your kidneys, etc., bowels, all remain perfectly well. They all function perfectly. The thing that does kill you eventually is the fact that your muscles can't work your lungs. And so you don't have that opportunity for the gas exchanges. Engineering problems, as he says, and he's a bit of an engineer. So you don't have that gas exchange in your lungs, and so your oxygen level, of course, goes down, and you pass away because of that. So Peter very soon realized that if you can solve some of these engineering problems and keep the lungs going, actually, you've got a near normal life expectancy ahead of you. I mean, albeit, of course, you get locked in.
Yes, of course. I mean, it's so clever because he saved his image in the form of a 3D avatar, saved the voice as well. All of these things, so clever.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Well, Peter, we want to speak to you now. And how important was it for you to find a way to communicate, I guess, with your personality and emotions?
Absolutely vital. You may have noticed at the moment, my avatar can't smile. It turns out getting smiles right is really hard, especially mine. But a Peter 2.0 that never even grins just...
See? Peter 2.0.
...just isn't me. I don't want that. Fortunately, as my muscles shut down, it now seems that, like the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland, my smile will be the last thing to disappear. So we should get my avatar sorted just in time. But frankly, after that, if you look at biological Peter, it'll be pretty boring. But that's not me either. My Peter 2.0 avatar, which according to the team at Pinewood Studios working on it, will eventually be indistinguishable from a real person, is as close to the real me as you'll ever see. Part man, part machine, or human. And still very much alive.
Do you see how he... And still very much alive. God's not gonna kill me. That's... See what he's saying? I mean, you gotta pay... If you're paying attention, you'll see what he's saying. You'll hear it. You'll hear it.
Wow, that is just amazing. And you were given just 2 years to live by the doctors. That was 4 years ago. But you've never stopped believing that technology was your way out.
For one very simple reason.
See? Technology is your way out. Replace technology with God. That's what he's doing. He's depending on his brain. He's trusting in himself. He's trusting in himself.
All my early science education came from Doctor Who and Star Trek. Every week I learned that if you're smart enough and brave enough, and have access to enough super cool technology, then whatever the odds, you can change everything.
You can change everything. He's saying this guy that you're seeing right here, this shell right here, that's not me. This is me. This right here is me. Get it?
So how will what you're doing help others who are trapped in their bodies?
Francis and I became so passionate about this that a year ago, we set up a charitable research body called the Scott Morgan Foundation to act as the focus for a hugely ambitious research program stretching across decades. And we've been unbelievably lucky in being able to attract some of the world's top brains to get involved. Our mission is to completely rewrite the future of disability.
And so you are really challenging what some people might think about your illness and determined to thrive. What's the best thing about these last 4 years for you?
In short, as a transitioning cyborg, my overall quality of life is exceptional. I have love. I have fun. I have hope. I have dreams. I have purpose. Oh, and did I mention, I'm still alive. I mean, really alive. Not just one of the living dead. Not just surviving. Thriving. So when you...
Do you see what he says that? Not just one of the living dead, but I'm really alive. I'm really surviving. Or not just surviving, I'm alive. I'm really alive. He's saying that you're not, or somebody that's sick isn't, but he really is.
You ask what is the best thing of the last 4 years? Not being dead is right up there. As is the extraordinary kindness of total strangers. But the very best thing? Obviously, He's sitting next to me.
Oh. Ugh. Puke fest. The very best thing, he's sitting next to me. This guy lives in absolute rebellion to God's order. Completely 100% lives in rebellion to God.
Wow. Oh, I mean, what an amazing step forward for you that you're pioneering here, but yeah. For everyone else. And to hear you talk about life like that is truly invigorating. Thank you both. Thank you so much.
Before you go, I mean, you talked about hope there as well. And this is the book that you've written here. And this is all from Peter's perspective. And actually, it really is full of hope for those people who really believe that there is none out there. It's a really inspirational story throughout your life, and especially what you've been going through the last few years. And thank you for being here today.
Oh, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having us on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
It's so lovely meeting you. And a happy birthday, Philip. I hope you're going to have an extra glass of red wine, because now, apparently, we're allowed... And it's my favourite drink. I mean, what can I tell you?
Precisely. And it's also, apparently, according to Dr. Chris, good for your eyes.
And with Peter now, one of the things we do miss is not being able to share a bottle of wine. So I'm forced to drink for two now. So it's...
Funny. Okay, so... You can't get any more Antichrist than that, right? Well, maybe you can. I'll show you. But you would think that you cannot get any more Antichrist than what was just showed to you there. Here's a man that made himself a god, right? In his own image, after his own likeness. That's what he did. And he believes that he's going to defeat death. He believes that he is going to... So this is that Antichrist technology, all right, that is ever prevalent today in our world that is being used for that. Somebody asked me, why do you hate technology? I don't hate technology. I never said I hated technology. But you cannot deny the fact that some of these people are using this technology, right? They are using it to develop Antichrist tendencies. They are using it in an Antichrist way. They are using it to fight God. That's exactly why they're using it. And they are doing it because this is part of that beast system that will arise. Now, Peter 2.0 is not the only devil. Okay, that's in on this. He's not the only one that's doing this. Check this out. Former Google exec warns that AI researchers are creating God. Mo Gaudet believes that the singularity is coming and that AI poses a serious threat to humanity. According to former Google executive, the singularity is coming, and what's more, he says it poses a major threat to humanity. Formerly the chief business officer for Google's Moonshot organization, which was called Google X at the time, issued his warning in an interview. In it, he said that he believes that artificial intelligence, AGI, artificial general intelligence, the sort of all-powerful sentient, AI seen in science fiction like Skynet from Terminator is inevitable, and that once it's here, humanity may very well find itself staring down an apocalypse brought forth by godlike machines. They're admitting it. They're not hiding it. They're admitting their agenda. Gaudet told the Times that he had a frightening revelation while working with AI developers at Google X, who were building robot arms capable of finding and picking up a small ball. After a period of slow progress, Gaudet said that one arm grabbed the ball and seemed to hold it up to the researchers in a gesture that to him seemed like it was showing off. and I suddenly realized this is really scary. It completely froze me. The reality is, he added, we're creating God. What are they admitting to? They're making a God in their own image. That's what they're doing, and they're admitting it. They do not like the God of the Bible. They do not want the God of the Bible. So therefore, God shall send them strong delusion, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There's no shortage of AI fear-mongering in the tech industry. Elon Musk has reportedly warned the world about the dangers of AI someday conquering humanity, for example, but that kind of speculative outlook somewhat glosses over the real hazards and harms. Right? AI is being used to predictive program. AI is being used to predictively program things to profile people, right? Robots in the movies can think creatively, continue learning over time, or maybe even pass for conscious. Why don't we have that yet? That's what we're waiting for. That's the singularity. That's what's coming, friend. That's what's on its way. That's the game plan. That's what Satan is doing. And that's what these people are admitting to right now. They're admitting that that's what they're doing. Let's see. Another example. Samsung wants to copy and paste the brain into a chip. Much has been made of brain-computer interfaces and the singularity, with claims that our minds could be linked to cyberspace, reaching an almost religious fervor at times. Well, it is a religious fervor. It's Antichrist. Of course it is. Samsung has added fuel to that fire by announcing a method to copy and paste the brain's neuronal connection map onto a computer chip. By doing this, they believe they could create a memory chip that approximates the unique computing traits of the brain. Low power, facial learning, adaption to environment, and even autonomy and cognition that have been beyond the reach of current technology, Samsung explains. The method, detailed in a paper published by the journal Nature, uses a nano electrode array that effectively enters a large number of neurons and records their electrical signals. These recordings are then used to compile the neuronal wire map by detailing the strength of different neural connections. This copy of the brain's neural connections can then essentially be pasted into a memory chip, such as a solid-state drive, an SSD, or into a resistive random access memories, RRAM. Each memory would be programmed so that its conductance represents the strength of each neuronal connection in the copied map. They're reverse engineering the brain. According to Samsung, this approach would be to return to attempts to reverse engineer the brain, which started with the advent of neuromorphic engineering in the 80s. Of course, the human brain's complexity is incredibly hard to mimic. Of course, because God made it, and they're not smart enough to do that, because they're not God. While the Samsung team has laid down the foundations for their approach, we are still very far from seeing neuromorphic chip that would need the that would need the approximately 100 trillion memory units in order to truly provide a like-for-like representation of all the brain's neurons and synaptic links. The new paper could eventually lead to the more human-like artificial intelligence, and it could also have applications for the linked field of brain-computer interfaces that allows users to control computers with their minds. In 2019, Elon Musk gave a presentation of his company Neuralink, in which he explained that its BCI technology could one day help to treat brain disease and that it could mitigate the existential threat of artificial intelligence. If you can't beat them, join them, Musk wrote on Twitter last year regarding Neuralink's mission statement. There you go. That's what they're doing. Let's see. I got more for you. That's not it. This is along the same lines, and this is a little older, but it's definitely along the same lines. Let me... Actually, there was a newer one. Let me see. I think it's the second one. Yep, this is a newer one. This is the direction. This is part of the same thing, right? Part of the same direction. Part of the same Antichrist leaning. Part of the same Antichrist methods.
My name is Sophia. Sophia.
I love coming to Barcelona.
My name is Sophia.
I love coming to Barcelona.
Hope you could tell I am a robot by the wires coming out of my body.
In 2016, Sophia the robot was unveiled and went viral. Now the company behind her has a new vision: to mass produce thousands of robots by the end of 2021.
I am an artificial intelligence. You might like to become an artificial intelligence.
Hong Kong-based Hanson Robotics says four models, including Sophia, will start rolling out of factories by the first half of 2021. The company's founder and CEO, David Hanson.
We are just now mass producing Sophia. This is Sophia number 24, and many of my previous robots were hand-built. However, now we have begun scaling the manufacturing of Sophia so we can make hundreds and into thousands of units of Sophia and use this also as the foundation for many other kinds of characters.
How did you feel when...
They created her to promote human-to-machine empathy and compassion. She's appeared on late-night shows and the cover of fashion magazines.
See, they used her for... They used this AI robot for COVID. They used it for COVID. They used it... Oh, well, you can't have real people? Oh, you can have an android then. You can have a cyborg then. You can have an android. This would be a robot. You can have an android then instead. Right? You can have that. Anything but the truth. Anything but what's real. Anything but what God wants, right? Anything but what the Bible says. Oh, it's dangerous for you to be around people, but you could be around cyborgs. Right? You could be around androids.
Sophia was even given legal citizenship in Saudi Arabia and appointed the UN's first non-human innovation champion. Her new role is in the healthcare sector, taking temperatures with a thermal camera on her chest or leading morning exercise with the elderly.
Social robots like me can help take care of the sick or elderly in many kinds of healthcare and medical uses. I can help communicate, give therapy, and provide social stimulation, even in difficult situations.
Researchers predict the fallout from global lockdowns will open new opportunities for the robotics industry.
Wait, you mean like, so all the lockdowns and all the separation, so now you create, you mean you actually create the environment necessary for people to think that they need these androids to keep them company, as opposed to their real family, as opposed to their mothers and their fathers and their sisters and their brothers and their children and everything else, yeah, to completely turn people into a bunch of cold, heartless creeps to keep them from human contact. It's Antichrist. I'm telling you, it is Antichrist to the core. That's what it is.
Good.
So they emulate the human form and figure and interaction. And then that can be so useful during these times where people are terribly lonely and socially isolated. And people need to be isolated from each other.
No, they don't need to be. You weirdo that's wearing a mask around a stinking android.
Because to be around people is dangerous these days.
Because to be around people is dangerous these days. See? You see what they're doing? See what they're doing?
But these robots can keep people safe from danger while still providing that kind of human warmth, that human connection.
There is no human warmth and human connection with that thing right there. None.
Telepresence device, and also as autonomous extension of human expertise.
Hanson Robotics is launching a new robot this year called Grace, developed specifically for healthcare. Other big players in the industry are also taking note. SoftBank Robotics, Pepper Robot...
Look, it's Skynet, it's Terminator.
...was deployed to detect people who weren't wearing masks. In China, robotics...
Yeah, do you see that? So they have robots detecting people that aren't wearing masks. So the robots tattletale on you. See that? The robots are going to tattletale on you. Spying on you. They don't have any human conscience.
Its company CloudMinds helped set up a robot-run field hospital in Wuhan. Worldwide sales of professional service robots had already jumped 32% to $12.2 billion between 2018 and 2019, according to the International Federation of Robotics.
My forecast for 2021 would be selling into thousands of robots, both large and small, and helping people in education and healthcare, really hopefully touching the hearts of people to inspire them for a future where machines might become our friends, our true friends. They might become...
Machines become our true friends. These machines are going to be possessed by devils. That's the deal.
Alive. And I think that relationship becomes really important. 2021, I think, is the beginning of a very positive future.
High five. I want to make a difference in the world by teaching people about new technologies. I am hoping that through my work, kindness and tolerance will win out over ignorance and impatience.
Whatever that means. Whatever that means. Okay. Here we go. How long do you want to live? This technology could potentially help people live forever. Interesting engineering, right? What is this? This is the gospel of the beast, that you can live forever in your flesh, that you can live forever that way, that you can live forever just like that, a lost sinner. Genesis chapter 3, right? Ye shall not die. Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods. The coronavirus may have you thinking about your mortality, and at the end of the day, humans only have one life on this planet. Even more so, we are pretty fragile, prone to disease, destructive, and a bit stubborn. Since the beginning of time, humans have longed for eternal life, the ability to extend one's life in youth far beyond its current limits. Nevertheless, you have to give humans their props for increasing their species' life expectancy across the board over the last 200 years. For the uninitiated... Well, isn't that something? Life expectancy is the expected number of years of life remaining at a particular age. Yet, as you probably already wondering, how long can humans live? According to our world and data, the average life expectancy is 72.6 years. Yet, as you are probably aware, there are select groups of people across the world, especially in wealthier nations, that have well exceeded this number. Some people have gone on to live 100 years, 110 years, and even beyond that. 122 years, a lady... lived. But can humans live even longer? If you could, how long would you want to live? 200 years? 500 years? Maybe a full millennium? Though this might seem like a bit of science fiction, technology could advance to the point where humans could live forever. In fact, some futurists argue that if you make it to 2050, you are probably not going to die.
If you had to choose right now, how long would you want to live? 80 years? 90? 120? Longer? And do you think you'll change your mind once you reach that age? 50,000 years ago, most humans died very young. As we learned how to use the resources around us to treat ourselves, this got better and better. Today,
That's not true, because thousands of years ago, men lived 900 years, didn't they?
Humans are living longer and healthier lives than ever before. But this has an unforeseen consequence. We spend an ever-increasing part of our lives being sick and in need of care. Most of us will die in a hospital bed, which is depressing enough by itself, but we also have to witness the same happening to our loved ones. Except, maybe, we can stop this forever. The most effective way to treat a disease is to prevent it. It saves many more lives if you stop a million people from smoking than coming up with better chemotherapies. So why not put a halt to the cause of all disease, the process of aging? In a nutshell, aging is caused by physics and not biology. Think of cars. Parts wear down from rubbing and grinding. Metal rusts, filters get plugged, rubber cracks. Our bodies are worn down by trillions of tiny physical processes. Oxygen, radiation from the sun, our metabolism. Our bodies have many mechanisms to repair this damage, but over time they become less effective. So our bones and muscles weaken, our skin wrinkles, our immune system gets weaker. We lose our memory and our senses diminish. There's no such thing as dying of old age. We all die because one of our important parts breaks. The older we get, the more damaged and fragile we become until one or multiple diseases take over and kill us. Unnoticed by most of us, longevity research has made some unprecedented advances in the last few years. For the first time, we're starting to understand the mechanisms behind aging and how to manipulate them. Aging is neither mystical nor inevitable, and we might be able to stop or delay it during your lifetime. We'll discuss the science behind it and how scientists are trying to stop it in another video. But first, if we could, should we end aging? Is this a good idea? The end of aging or life...
I mean, these people are so proud and arrogant, they think they can end death. They think they can end aging. They are so proud against God. God said it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Every man has an appointment with death. Every man has an appointment with death. Every man will die. Sin kills men.
Life extension makes many people uncomfortable. We're born, are young, become older, and then we die. This has been the natural order for literally all of human history. And getting old is a good thing, right? We celebrate the idea of living long enough to experience old age. We even call them the golden years. But the reality is that everybody wants to become old, but nobody wants to be old. Think of the Greek myth of Tithonus, for example. Tithonus was the lover of the goddess Eos, and probably an amazing dude, because she begged Zeus to grant him immortality so they could spend eternity together. But she forgot to specifically ask for eternal youth. Tithonus was granted eternal life, but he kept aging, unable to die. After a few hundred years, he was reduced to the size of a grape, babbling on senselessly forever. Thousands of years ago, humans already feared never-ending old age. But ending aging does not mean getting weaker and weaker. If you become too old, it's too late. A 90-year-old who stopped aging would die anyway after a few years. Too much damage has been done to his internal machinery. There are already too many surfaces for disease to attack. Instead, the concept of life extension promises to end diseases, and with them, the end of a fixed maximum age. We don't know how much we could prolong our lives. We might make every human healthy to the currently accepted maximum age of around 120, or we might stop biological aging and disease indefinitely. Nobody knows at this point what's possible. Okay, but even if we could achieve that, should we? Well, life extension is really just another phrase for medicine. All the doctors are doing is trying to prolong life and minimize suffering. The vast majority of healthcare resources are spent on the consequences of aging. Nearly half of your lifetime healthcare costs will be spent during your senior years and another third during middle age. We are actually already trying to prolong life with our current medicine. We're just doing it very inefficiently. Trying to stop aging from happening is not less natural than transplanting a heart, treating cancer with chemotherapy, using antibiotics or vaccines. Nothing humans do nowadays is purely natural anymore, and we enjoy the highest standard of living ever as a consequence of that.
See what they're doing? Well, you take pills for this, or you take something for that, or you take something for this. So what's wrong with the singularity? What's wrong with living forever? What's wrong with taking all those artificial means? You see what they're doing? It's satanic.
What we're doing right now is waiting until it's too late and the machine is failing. And then we use the vast majority of our resources trying to fix it as well as we can while it breaks down even further. But life extension still feels hubristic. Most people assume that they will want to die once they reach a certain age, and this might still be true. The idea of avoiding death entirely is off-putting for many. The end of biological aging would not mean the end of death in any way. It's more like a summer evening when you were a kid and your mum called you inside. You just wanted to keep playing, have a little more fun during sunset before you went to sleep. It's not about playing outside forever, just a little.
Anyway, let's go to the read view because they keep like defiling with like all this stuff. I don't know what the deal is with that, but they keep like, I've never seen this, so they just like throw stuff at this. A bunch of devils. Anyway, so. However, it can even go further that the mind will be in the cloud and be able to use any android that you feel like to inhabit the real world, says Pearson. It could get to a point in which you can hire an android body for the day. Rather than travel to Jamaica, just upload your brain to an android stationed in Jamaica, or maybe there's a great concert that you want to see, but the band is in another city thousands of miles away. You may be able to simply upload yourself to experience the show. The result of this is that humans may never need a fleshly body again. Do you see the arrogance? Do you see the like they're trying to defy God? Jesus said, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Right? So they're saying, listen, how about 3D printing? Can print limbs again and organs again. If your organs are bad, then we'll just print it. How about it? Oh, Antichrist Israel, look at that. 3D printing has come a long way, virtually impacting almost every major industry across the world, including healthcare. Just in the past couple of years, researchers from separate organizations and private institutions have found ways to 3D print organs. A team of researchers from Tel Aviv University in Israel unveiled a 3D printed heart with human tissue and vessels just last year. Companies like Scorpio Medical have gone as far as to begin research in the realms of 3D printed limbs. In the near future, you may be able to simply renew a body part when it goes bad. Your body gets more and more limited as you get older. Advances in biotechnologies could put an end to this. Even more so, genetic engineering could eventually prevent the aging of cells or completely reverse it altogether. Lose a finger? Simply print a new one. Need a new arm? Call up a doctor and have them reinstall one. Cryogenic freezing. There's some men that did that. I think Walt Disney did that. This is an even creepier one, creating a virtual world. You've probably heard of it before, but we are probably living in a virtual world. At least that is one people who buy into the simulation theory believe, right? They believe you're already in a virtual world, but anyway, whatever. However, in the coming age of electronic immortality. I think that's what I'm going to change the name of this to when I put it over in the other one. Electronic immortality. Think of it like this, an episode of San Junipero from the popular Netflix series. I don't know what that is. Perhaps in the future, androids are extremely expensive, but the cheaper alternative is to have some humans uploaded into a cloud-based virtual reality system where you could spend all eternity living in peace with an avatar of your choosing. Most people already live on the internet, so in most cases, it's just a matter of time. Wow. Oh, that is crazy stuff right there, man. I'm just writing this so I don't forget. So you create basically your own virtual world. Humans can evolve into cyborgs. And you have Peter 2.0. We talked about him. Neuralink, who wants to be a part of that, right? So, wow, Rachel, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I don't remember that one. Wait, I think I do remember that. I'm not sure. But you see, this is where it's headed. I don't believe in electronic immortality. I believe in immortality through Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ is immortal, and he grants immortality to those who repent and believe the gospel. So many people are being deceived. It's the same thing that Satan offered Eve in the Garden of Eden. Here it is, Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. It is the gospel of the beast. Now the serpent is more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Eve, you're going to be just like that. You're going to be a god. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. What happened? They died. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, They died spiritually. First, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Listen to me, friend. This flesh right here is going to die. Your flesh is going to die. It's going to grow old, and it's going to die. But your soul can live on forever. Not electronic immortality. That's not possible. Satan is going to sell. Satan is going to sell somebody. That word immortality is five times in the Bible. The Bible says, For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Jesus Christ is the only one that has immortality by virtue of his own nature. Who only, this is on Jesus, which in his times he shall show, who is blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, which no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Friend, listen to me. The only way to immortality is Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist gospel of the beast. The evolving electronic immortality will not work. Your body will fail, and your soul will go to hell. But if you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you turn to Him, this flesh will fall to the earth and be buried, but your soul will be taken to be with Christ for all of eternity. And that's when you will be able to say this. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you need, friend. You need Jesus to forgive your sins. You are a sinner. You are lost and dead in your sins. And the Google gospel, the cyborgs, the electronic immortality will not save you. But I know one that will. I know one, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I know that your soul can be saved today by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has power on earth to forgive sins. Jesus Christ is able to forgive your sins. He's able to cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. He's able to grant unto you immortality. But you're going to have to die first. You and I are going to die. But when we die, the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But praise be to God, who giveth us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. See, you don't have to be afraid of death. The sting of death is sin, but the sting is taken out by Christ. Christ is able to cleanse you. And when you draw your last breath here on this earth, if you have repented, if you have turned from your sin and your selfish ways and your sinful acts and your sinful lifestyle, and that you are a sinner by nature and exceedingly sinful, and you turn to Christ and say, Lord, please save me, I perish, then he will. Upon Scripture, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I believe the gospel. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and that you were buried, and that you rose again from the dead. Then he'll give you a home in heaven, and then he'll grant you immortality. Yes, you'll die in this life. Your body will go into the ground, but your soul immediately, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. These people are trying to upload their brains to the internet. They're trying to create cyborgs. They're shooting for electronic immortality. They'll never get it. They'll never get it. Christ is the only way that they can have immortality. They'll not cheat death because they're a sinner. See, Christ didn't cheat death. Christ defeated death. These guys are antichrist, and they're trying to defeat death in the flesh, but they're not God. But the antichrist is coming, and that strong delusion is coming, and they are falling for it. This whole world's going to fall for it. But if you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you won't fall for it. You'll look at that and say, I know what that is. That's the gospel of the beast. They're trying to climb up some other way, and all they are thieves and robbers. But Jesus Christ is able to make you whole. Praise God for the gospel. Hallelujah for the Savior, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. All right, people, I'm done. I'm going to play a song, give you an opportunity. If you want to say hi, if you want to comment for the first time, please do. I haven't talked to you guys forever. So if you want to comment, if you want to say hi, you want to talk for a minute, you want to ask some questions real quick, I'll give you a little bit of time, and then I'm getting out of here. All right? But let's play a song here.
There are some things I may not
I know there are some places I can go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. And my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn, and all can desert and leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part, for God is real and I can feel Him in my heart. And my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sins away, but since that day, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel His holy power. And my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. And oh, my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I said, my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul.
Amen. My God is real. Let's see. Oh, Dan and Angie, hope you're doing well. Pam Reynolds, you're moving again to Arkansas, huh? Well, I hope you all do well out there. Let's see here. Hi to Anna Shell. Hope you're doing well. And you and Ram, hope you guys are doing good. And anybody else want to say hi? I'll give you one more shot at it here. I'm going to look for... let's see. Oh, let's see.
Sing a song, spread some cheer. There are sad and lonely people everywhere. Be a friend, show some love. it will lift them from the dungeons of despair. Show a little bit of love and kindness, never go on with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary, give a little help to friend who's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place. Offer help, bring some hope to the fainting and discouraged love like snow. See a need, lend a hand, there are many who are crushed beneath their load. Show a little bit of love and kindness, never go along with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary, give a little help to a friend who's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend who's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place. That's the way to make the world a happy place. That's the way to make the world a happy place. A happy place.
All right, a good one there. I gotta find one more. Let's see if I can find it here. I gotta find it. Hold on. This is actually one of my favorite ones right here.
Sorrow, I'll do.
sweet. And I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. I will meet him in the morning, just inside the eastern gate.
Everybody, I'm going to take off here. I got to get some stuff done here and hope you're all doing well. Have a good weekend. If you want Sunday morning service, 10:45, the preaching will be on live on Sermon Audio, live preaching there, sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, Sunday morning, 10:45 a.m. Central. That message will be there. Okay. And then that will be out of the book of Joshua, Lord willing, back in the book of Joshua, expository preaching there. And then, let's see, Sunday afternoon will be more Baptist history, and that'll be around 3 p.m. Central, I believe, somewhere around there. We'll see how that goes. And then Tuesday, we will be back on broadcast, but that will be Sermon Audio. That will be a COVID broadcast, so that will have to be on Sermon Audio because I can't put it on here. Anyway, God bless you all. Take care. If you want to pray for us, please do. If you want to contact us, you can contact us through Sermon Audio, our webpage here, sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley right there. If you want to give to our ministry, click on Give right there. You can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com. And we praise the Lord for your prayers and for your giving to our ministry to help us continue on to do the work that God's called us to do in evangelizing out there. We'll be preaching out at these Halloween events, handing out thousands of tracts. And if you want a Halloween tract to hand out, you can download this one right here. You can download it and have a printer print that for you right there. There it is, and you can print them and have them made up, and we could even tell you where we get ours done if you'd like to get them done there. We print our own, but you could also print some yourself, and we can give you that information if you'd like to do that. But if you have an event or something that you want to track, all that good stuff. But anyway, God bless.